Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE engines, immersive graphics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the kingdom of humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice. Your choice, that is. From the sword and shield wielding fighter to the illusion conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world. Literally. Oh, and did I mention that the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while you dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs and raging waters. So visit DragonsDogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's DragonsDogma.com to learn more.
Hey!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rooster Teeth Podcast.
Welcome to the college basketball playoffs.
So what
I'm Bernie Burns.
What do you think the team looks like out there tonight?
Well,
Mr. Burns?
Look, I think the field, it looks great. You know,
they look strong.
Both teams are coming into this off big wins. You know, neither one of them was expected to beat the number one seed. They both did somehow. So today should be an exciting matchup.
Both, you say?
Listen, go fuck yourself with that. I've been saying both since I was like 8 years
so
old.
So I ran away for a minute. Let's just do quick intros.
Do you know that joke in Red vs. Blue actually came from my buddy Jason Sagawa, who would make fun of me for saying both?
I'm surprised not me, from me making fun of you for saying both.
I don't listen to you.
So this is Gus.
Gavin.
Barbara.
And Gus. This is Bernie.
So I stepped away for a second to go work on an issue, and I came back, and all of a sudden my laptop is covered in drinks now.
I put your margarita on your trackpad.
I have never cringed more in my entire life.
She didn't want me to do it, and she couldn't look at it once I'd done it because it was leaving a big ring.
Barbara's a good friend. Because I was trying to fix something, and my fucking trackpad was screwed
up. I'm also a neurotic Jew. What? So I'm just like, get it off.
Why does water affect the capacitive feedback?
I think it was the cold, believe it or not.
The cold?
I felt like it was sticking and it wasn't working right.
Because it was too cold?
Yeah, it was too cold.
But usually the warmth of your finger is the thing that moves the trackpad.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not warm enough.
Warmth. It's not temperature-based, is it?
Do you even know?
So it's electricity.
Maybe the electricity wouldn't conduct.
Isn't electricity just heat?
Well, they don't heat.
Here we go. So isn't electricity just heat? Let's think about that for a second.
I mean, a stylus isn't heated.
That's a good point. A stylus is not heated.
Nailed it.
Unless it is, but just in the tip of it.
What did you get me? What is this?
All right, put that on the list of questions for later.
It's a margarita?
Yeah.
It's a margarita and a vodka soda?
You want to give a cheers, Gus?
Cheers to South by Southwest and the internet.
And we should probably explain this to people who are not watching the video version of this podcast, that we are broadcasting live from the Pontiac Silverdome. Now, we are at South by Southwest, and we are at our venue where we've been for like the last week of South by Southwest.
Seems like it, yeah.
Having various parties and fun stuff like that.
Can the audience hear all the people in the bar?
They can probably pick it up a little bit.
A little bit.
I can hear it. You can't really see them that well because they're actually down a level from us, but there's a bunch of people like here just like mooching off of free drinks.
They're
and stuff
also
like
not
that.
Paying attention to our podcast.
No,
it's nice.
No, look at that. You got a group right there. They're all paying attention. They're like taking pictures. They're looking at their phone. They're watching the stream on the phone.
Oh, really?
Guys, we're right here.
Yeah, you don't need to look at your phone. You can live it. Although I'm sure they can't hear us. Except through our headsets.
Probably not. But right off the bat, fucking disgusting story I want to talk about. Did you read about the British Airways flight today?
No.
There was a British Airways flight that took off from Heathrow, bound for Dubai.
That's disgusting.
They get out, they take off, about 30 minutes into the flight, they had to turn the plane. It was a 747. They had to turn the 747 around to go back to land in Heathrow.
Can we guess why?
Why do you name how big the plane was? I mean,
it's important to the story.
Oh,
can we guess why? I'm going to guess that someone had explosive diarrhea.
Oh, my Lord.
That's my guess.
I'm going to guess that somebody in first class, this is my favorite airline rage story of all time, somebody recreated that guy who got so drunk that he dumped over the drink cart and then took a poop on it.
Was that Gerard Depardieu? No, he peed on a plane.
No. Don't go naming names. I can try to look it up if I get an internet connection here.
So you were really close, Barbara. Someone took a shit so nasty on the plane that it stank up the entire plane.
Really?
And they had to turn it around. The pilot had to come on the intercom and tell people, don't worry about that smell. It's not a technical problem. It's just liquefied human excrement.
Wow.
Where? Liquefied.
Wait, did they actually know the person who did it, though?
No.
Because I would
think about that. That is an epic shit.
Can you imagine if
turn
you took
a plane around?
If you took a poop and it was like delayed everyone's travel plans at spring break.
One guy had to wait 15 hours for the next flight.
My cough button?
What's that?
One guy had to wait 15 hours for the next flight because they went back and they had to cancel the flight.
What would be the reason for that? That you had to put a leg on the reason why your plane was delayed? Somebody had to poop.
Somebody took a nasty shit. Also, that's really early in the flight. Like, they're still climbing. This dude's like, I gotta go.
Somebody asked the question here, which is most obvious in my mind. Did he poop in the bathroom or did he just poop in his seat?
I believe it was in the bathroom.
Could they not just like pour water down there and like flush it? Like, what was he doing? Did it go down?
I don't know. That's all I know is that someone took a shit
he
so nasty.
He turned the plane around with his anus.
That is amazing. It was so bad that a member of parliament had to make a public statement on television about it. Can you imagine taking a shit so powerful? A politician has to get on TV and talk about it.
What if it was just a really weird bet? Like a guy bet another guy who's like, turn a plane around using only your anus. Go. And you just nailed it.
Eat this entire box of X-Lax and let's see what happens.
What he came up with was that. So many better things.
I assume he didn't use the courtesy flush or anything that you usually do when you shit in a public area.
I don't think this shit would be contained by a courtesy flush.
You need like a courtesy nuke in order to get rid of that.
What these public areas you've been taking dumps in?
No, I mean, anytime you take a crap in a public area, whether it's a plane or a restaurant.
Let's address the issue that Gavin was bringing up here. Barbara Dunkelman.
Yes.
Do you poop in public?
Absolutely.
Really out in the open? On a sidewalk?
Oh, that's disgusting. Not in public.
No, I'm just kidding.
So you would like go to dinner and then just go and take a dump in the restaurant?
If I have to, yeah. Not just for fun.
Gavin.
What's wrong with that?
No, I'm just asking. Just some people don't do that. Like Gavin is
a
person.
I can't control my shit times.
Yeah. I'm with Barbara.
Yeah,
if you gotta go, you gotta go.
But you're acting like you've never heard of this before, like that people don't go to the bathroom out in public.
Right, but people are psychotic.
Right.
So, I mean, there's no reason to encourage that kind of behavior.
No, I think people establish that in school. Like, they don't poop at school. And then they carry that through the rest of their life. Like, they don't poop at work.
You just know you're gonna be away from pooing for a long time. And you do one before you go.
Here's the thing. With me, I prefer shitting in public than shitting at my significant other's house.
Oh, I'm
that's
down with you
because
on that.
The significant other has one bathroom.
Yeah.
And,
you gotta keep the magic alive, Barb.
Yeah.
You're doing the right thing.
You gotta keep it mysterious.
Barb's a hot chick. You gotta keep up the doesn't even poop thing going as long as you can.
I don't fart either. Yep. If I do, it smells like potpourri or poopery.
Poopery.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Do you like charge up? When you're charging up for the night?
Yeah.
Just reload it.
It's just flowers that come out instead of smell.
One time my wife went into a public restroom. And she came out, she goes, man, I can't believe it. It smells like shit in there. I was like, you know what? I'm glad it smells like shit in there. That's the one place in this whole building that it should smell like shit. The smell should be contained in that room.
Why was she so surprised?
Then she was like, oh, yeah, you're right. That's a really good point.
Somebody turned the mall around and flew it back to the UK because somebody pooped at the mall. But I know, I totally feel you. Whenever, I think I've said this before, but whenever I go to a hotel with Ashley, I never ever use the restroom in the room.
You can't, right?
I go down the lobby.
I destroy
it. You're married. You can, you don't care.
To be fair, hotel lobby toilets are pretty nice. Typically.
They are.
Yeah, and they're usually, like, not occupied. Yeah. Can I tell you a secret that I've learned? Don't go to the lobby. Go to the second floor where all, like, the conference rooms and stuff are. Yeah. Nobody's ever down there.
I've always done that. That's like super traveler pro tip.
Yeah.
Is, like, if you find a bathroom, look for a hotel, go to the second floor.
Yeah. Go to, like, or if you're, like, at 1 a.m.
Like, where
you
the
wake
pool
up.
Is and stuff. Or like, conference rooms.
Okay. Conference rooms. There you go.
You should write, like, a poo book for travelers.
That would be, very well.
It would be one sentence.
People can read it while they go to the bathroom in different places.
Like, oh, that's where I screwed up.
Don't poop on a 747. Chapter one.
How many bathrooms? So, a 747 is it's got two stories up at the front because first class is up top. So you figure they've got two labs up there, two in the front.
Putting so much thought
into
this.
Four in the middle and maybe another four in the back. There's got to be like 12 bathrooms on a 747.
You think with 12 bathrooms, that'd be like an air janitor. that just
goes
around.
You think you're in
around.
A plane that's flying through the sky, they could just hit a button and kind of flush all the air out of the plane.
Some guy that just, like, sits on the plane every flight and just cleans the bathrooms.
What, like a bug cleaner on a flight? That's not insane.
I guess if they're, yeah, they're stewardesses and
Why
stuff.
You think they should flight suck attendants. All the air out of the plane? It seems like, listen, I know the cabin of a plane is pressurized, but yeah. It does seem like there would be some way to vent the cabin in an emergency. Like, just
well,
like
I say, everyone
smoke.
Hold that breath for a second. We're just going to...
No, or just, you know, you just do it...
I don't know, yeah.
Do it
yeah.
in segments. Do it a little bit.
No, you think what they could have done is, like, it'd be the one time that you could deploy the oxygen masks. And be yeah. like, listen, we're fine. We have plenty of pressure. We're just going to drop the oxygen mask so you can get some fresh air.
Why didn't they do that for the plane that got turned around?
Yeah, they should have done
That's
that.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
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 Well, I don't think that air lasts very long.
I don't think it lasts long enough.
Like a minute.
Oh, is that true?
Well, it lasts long enough for the plane to go into breathable... I mean, you just go like this, right?
Yeah,
you steer down
into breathable altitudes or into the ocean.
Yeah.
Either one, you know. Then it lasts that long, exactly.
Yeah, go for a little swim.
I can imagine that that mask dropped and the oxygen came on. That would be like the stalest, stinkiest air ever. Like,
because airplane air is already like that.
Yeah, but you can't smell oxygen. Like compressed well, oxygen.
It's not a tank of oxygen.
What is it?
It's an oxygen generator. It so when it drops. The process of it falling and you pulling on the cord, it activates a canister, which creates a chemical reaction that generates oxygen.
I thought you were saying, like, you pulled it down and had to, like, make oxygen. So
no.
Just, like,
it's like, basically, when you pull it, it just, like, pulls a little pin off of the generator.
Just open those in the plane, then, and fill the plane with oxygen.
It's like Spaceballs?
Just, like, a big one and just pull the cord, and then you got oxygen.
That's just like Spaceballs.
Have you guys ever had to use that thing in an airplane, an oxygen mask?
No, but I know somebody who was on a plane that they had decompression of the cabin. And
which means like there's a leak,
yeah, or something,
and all the breathable air shot out.
They were flying along at like 35,000 feet. It was halfway between San Antonio and Denver, I believe, flying along, and all of a sudden the plane went like this, and just like
fuck,
just dropped. And what he said first, what the first indication was, his ears popped really hard, and then he heard a noise that sounded like 50 shotguns going off, and that was the mask dropping down because they don't just like go. Open, yeah. they get thrown down yeah. like an airbag.
It's amazing how many explosives are in vehicles as like a safety measure. Like an airbag is an explosion that fills a bag. And we recently filmed a video, Dan and I, where there's these things called seatbelt pretensioners, which is when an airbag goes off, to prevent your lower half from sliding away, your seatbelt gets yanked down. And it uses explosives to like fire your seatbelt down.
Really?
And we filmed it in slow-mo, and it's fast as hell. Just like a little explosive charge like this in the seatbelt.
You know, I gotta say, like, we go out in my car sometimes and just see how fast we can make it go, because it's the electric car that goes like 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. That car, if you hit it, it'll lock your seatbelt every single time. Just the acceleration on it.
It's the weirdest feeling still. I still can't get over it.
It's like when you take off in a roller coaster, yeah. like one of those like short track roller coasters. It's the same kind of feeling.
It's like a rocket just shoots you out.
Yeah, you're not used to feeling it in a car, so it's like very disorienting.
So we went out to a lovely brunch the other day.
We did.
I hesitate to bring up in front of Gus because he was not invited.
What?
Yeah, we went to a lovely brunch.
I love brunch.
Do you?
No. Fuck no. I hate brunch.
I can't imagine.
Why do you hate brunch?
Brunch is terrible.
Brunch is my favorite meal.
Let me tell you.
How dare you, Gavin? How dare you ask him that? I invited you. You bitched about going for 2 weeks.
What are you on about? I knew you were weird about this.
Do you want to see the text messages?
Read them out. Look, this will happen.
Wait, I can't.
It was
so
like,
vulgar.
It was like...
We might get fined for cursing on the internet.
I love that we always
just
talk
about... Just use your mute button.
We always talk about text message conversations, but then when it comes to podcasts, we can never read any of them.
I know, it's impossible.
But this what, you were like, brunch? And then like something came up to the point where we might not be able to do brunch, and you're like, ah, shit, we can't do brunch. And I was like... What is the big deal about this brunch? You're so obsessed with this brunch. I was just questioning why this brunch was so important. Like, who goes to brunch?
When you have, like, a nice big group brunch planned, it's exciting. I get really excited about stuff like
that. The word brunch has lost all meaning.
First of all, I didn't plan the brunch. Ashley planned the brunch.
Right.
And I got... So I roped in, so we invited people to the brunch.
Where'd you go?
We went to St. Philip, which is...
That sounds awful.
It's going to sound weird.
Yeah.
It's a pizza place...
Oh, I've been there, yeah.
But that's made by the people who do Uchi, which is like, there's a weird thing. I don't think we've ever talked about Uchi on the podcast. It's like, we usually go to like Gordo's and Home Slice and stuff like that. Uchi is a sushi restaurant that's in the middle of Texas, in Austin, Texas. And it's probably the best sushi I've had anywhere ever.
It's one of the best food, period.
Yeah, one of the best food, period.
Yeah. And it's like, we don't go there very often because it's pretty pricey. But it's weird because like everyone's first reaction when they hear that the sushi restaurant in Austin, like, that can't possibly be any good, and it's bar none the best one I've ever been to in my life.
It's probably the best restaurant in Austin.
Have you ever sat at the sushi bar?
Yeah.
I watch them make it. That's really cool. I like doing it that way.
I think they get overpaid for just cutting a fish. I mean, am I looking at it wrong? It's just like a dude cutting a fish.
No, but they're sourcing the fish. They have to get high-quality fish. You're paying not only for the dude cutting the fish. You're paying for all the work that goes into getting that particular fish there in that moment.
Also, the fish is more expensive itself.
Right.
Yeah.
You should try to make sushi.
I went to Whole Foods and bought sushi-grade or sashimi-grade tuna.
Sushi-grade sushi.
Yeah, sashimi-grade tuna. And just cut it at home and ate it like that. It wasn't quite the same experience.
Did you ever see so...
Just me standing on my sink eating fish.
you know, you're like a cat. There's that TV show that Gordon Ramsay has, Kitchen Nightmares, and he did an episode here in Austin. It's like where he goes to a restaurant that's failing and tries to help them. And as part of that, like when he was here in town filming, he had to do like a promo thing at the local Fox affiliate to promote the TV episode and everything. And I remember watching it because I was getting ready for work or something. And he came on, and he did not talk about the TV show at all. He just was like, hey, have you guys heard about this restaurant, Uchi? It's amazing. I ate there the other day. And all he did for the whole segment was just talk about Uchi. And they're like, don't you want to talk about your TV show? It's, oh, yeah, Kitchen Nightmares. So
that's like the 7 best o'clock. Ad you could possibly want.
Yeah, seriously.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this place we went for brunch is a pizza place made by the guys who made Uchi. And it's really awesome. Like, I got to see there was a brisket hash.
Yeah, I had that, too.
Oh, did you have that? It's fucking amazing. It's like brisket, like... It's like gourmet poutine. It's basically
like,
what it boils
like
down to.
It's like fried egg with brisket and cheese.
And slices of potato.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Or potato if you're like Gavin. Yeah. What did you have, Gavin, at the lovely brunch?
I had a meatball pizza.
He had pizza at the pizza place.
Yeah.
That that I would like. So my problem with brunch is it's neither breakfast nor lunch.
That's
like,
the best part of it. It's
no,
both.
No, you leave.
You're blowing my mind right now.
Satisfied.
You think it's neither. I think it's both.
No.
We're going to fight about
it. It's like a pale... A pale version
Look,
of breakfast and a pale version of lunch.
It's whatever you want it to be. It's the beauty of
no,
brunch.
If you got a pizza, guess what? You ate lunch, motherfucker.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I was at a brunch place.
What if you got the brisket hash that had brisket and eggs?
No.
That's both breakfast and lunch.
You know why? Because breakfast is bullshit.
Well, I tried to find breakfast. The conversation that I had with Gavin about brunch.
Yeah. You did
so
not.
I looked up brunch in my messages.
Yeah.
Way too many conversations came up that included the word brunch, so I think I need to reevaluate.
There's 25
you
conversations
need to calm
there.
Down. I need to reevaluate my
Although
life.
Although I was excited to see Becca and her kid.
She had a lovely little baby there.
I haven't seen her in ages. It was nice to see her.
Clementine.
Have you ever met Clementine before?
No, never.
Yeah. I've only seen the hundreds and hundreds of pictures and videos of
So Becca is who played... sister in Red vs. Blue. She was actually one of our earliest t-shirt models as well. Mm-hmm. And so she had a kiddo about 4 months ago, Clementine. And
we had some good staring contests.
Oh, that's a cute
I
baby.
I lost all of them.
That's a cute baby.
It's like the perfect baby. It's like a Gerber baby.
Yeah, gorgeous baby.
She has
baby.
Like a perfectly round face, giant blue eyes, and it's just like...
Happy as can be.
Yeah, but don't all babies have blue eyes?
Look at Gus just checking out of this conversation. He's just like the blood.
Babies. Am I right? Pretty cool.
Hey, I don't want babies, but I could still appreciate the cuteness.
You don't want kids?
No, not really.
Ever, ever?
Yeah.
Oh,
I used to when I was younger.
Let's make a bet. You'll shit a kid out one day.
You'll shit a kid.
I guarantee you.
You'll be on a 747. You're going to shit a kid so stinky, you're going to turn the plane around.
We had a baby upside down in the bog.
That baby, man. Woo!
I like that we're going to have a science expert on here. And so far, we've compared electricity is heat, and Barbara's going to shit out a baby.
Hey, what about you? You going to shit out a baby?
Gavin's going to have a baby.
Look, I think there should be vents on airplanes.
You're going to have a baby.
Apparently.
I almost lost a bollock. I'm not even sure anything's functional down there.
It works.
I want to take a fertility test.
We
should do one live on the podcast.
I'll do it. Why not?
Like, we should like have like a curtained off area where you go jerk it.
Oh, I can pre-do that.
No, like all live on the podcast.
Yeah, you have and to then, do like, it during our discussion. Someone, you have to hear us too.
Someone gets the microscope and the count. We should absolutely
personal,
do this.
I'm curious. I have a question for Gavin, which was after you had your accident, which involved your testicle. Left testicle or right testicle? Have
left.
Ask that? So it's your left testicle.
Yeah.
I feel like I knew that.
Your left testicle.
It's an absurdly large scar.
Oh, no kidding.
Because you would think it would be like this big, but the testicle at the time was like this big.
Oh my
so
they
had to like really get in there.
Could you walk? Like, or did you have to open your legs?
I could walk. I looked like
a cowboy?
I looked like I was sat on a horse, but there was no horse.
Oh my God. The horse was your left nut. Oh my God. Yeah, and around the last stretch, it's left nut.
I wasn't winning any races.
So I'm curious, did that, when you had that problem with your testicle, did that affect your output? Like in either volume... Or
like
distance.
Your semen output?
No, Barbara, I'm wondering, you know, if he was more productive as a person.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Course.
Yeah, yes. I could write really
I'm
fast
just
after that.
Making clarification for the
it
audience.
It could have been urine. I appreciate it.
Yes. Yeah.
Why
yes.
would it be urine? Where do you think
Why
urine...
would it be semen? You're the perverted one here. You just said output.
He's just testicle. Mad about brunch.
His testicle.
No, I was being dumb. You were right. No. I'm abandoning Gus now.
Don't
point.
Let him. Don't listen. Don't make me mad and let him avoid a question. Every time I ask a question, he makes me mad so he can avoid it.
Did it affect your semen volume?
Well, I told the story about how I couldn't, you know, monk my bean for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Monk your bean.
Like 3 weeks went by.
3 weeks?
And, you know what happens if you don't do anything for 3 weeks.
It becomes serious. Yeah, you take a plane trip to Scotland. That's what happens.
a baby comes out.
No, but it was weird. I told the story because it was like, I felt like it had happened in the night, and but nothing was happening. There was nothing happened. And then when I woke up the next morning, it all happened. So I was like, I don't know whether I was dreaming.
I love your use of it happened. It's happening. It happened.
I just imagine Ron Paul in Gavin's bedroom.
It happened.
It happened.
So we had a cool thing happen today. First of all, we should talk about this.
Yes.
We won South by Southwest's most valuable online channel.
Woo, yay!
How do they determine value?
We voted. People voted.
Like, it's like most valuable player kind of a thing. It's just like, just the best is basically what that says.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I'm sure a lot of people at South by Southwest, after we won that award, tuned into this podcast for the first time where we talked about pooping on planes for 20 minutes straight. Mm. So
it's got like
well deserved.
But Southwest. It has value.
Yeah, but we should thank the audience for that because it was, I think, purely votes.
I think they should thank us. No, I'm just kidding.
So
absolutely thank
you.
Yeah, you
thank
guys
you.
Voted. That's the kind of thing where it's like, whenever there's an award where you have to like vote for it, I'm always very reluctant to go out to the audience and like say, hey, we're up for this award. Yeah, I just don't like doing that. So
I feel like
there's one going on right now and we're just not talking about it, honestly.
Yeah, if it's like, oh, cool, if it happens, it happens. But
and I know the audience will say, you guys do that occasionally, you know, or all the time. You guys did it like 6 months ago or you guys did it a year ago. And it's like, yeah, but there's like 40 other ones in between that we just don't even mention.
Gotta be selective.
Yeah, it's just, you know, don't want to ask too much. But we do appreciate you guys voting for that and getting us most valuable online channel at South by Southwest.
It's great because it's a local award.
I think it's the only local award we've ever won. Oh, yeah. No, I shouldn't say that because the Austin American Statesman voted Social Media Company of the Year, and then the Chronicle gave us Best Video Game Studio.
We're going to think about making a video game one day. Watch out.
We basically thought about the best game ever.
Right. That was a very weird distinction to get, especially because we know so many people who work hard in video games.
Yeah, I mean, also the Ruby game is kind of like in the works right now.
Yeah, it's in the works.
It's in alpha.
Yeah. Be like winning Best Picture because we're working on Laser Team.
You have a trailer.
A game in alpha is every game these days.
Alpha.
Like, how many alpha?
You said alpha.
I've lived here 3 years. You know about my intrusive R. You know all about it. I've lived here for 3 years.
Gavin, are you going to get mad at me for correcting you when you mispronounce something?
It's not correction. I don't do like talk about your dumb accent and say how wrong it is.
You know about my intrusive R.
You're outnumbered. Our accent is right here.
You just did like 5 minutes ago when I said snooker. And you go, snooker? Snooker? You got so upset with me. What do you say, snook? And I go, yes. And you go, all right, fair play.
Yeah. I mean, it's just topic of discussion.
We were all doing our sportscaster impressions before we went live with the podcast. And I was doing NCAA basketball and football, and Gavin went to snooker.
Well, because I was going, that's a bad.
No, he went to snooker.
It was a sketch show reference.
How's Tottenham doing? I've not been keeping up with them.
They're playing Man U.
Oh, I don't know.
You know who's doing great? Fucking Crystal Palace.
Talk to me about football. Don't even talk to me about football. You'll just ignore a text.
We're supposed to make it up. You said we're going to make it up.
When?
I'm waiting on you.
What was our plan? I forgot what that
plan
was.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember
I'll show you the text message.
Okay.
I don't want to ruin it.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm going to...
You guys were at our party.
Oh, I remembered it. Yes.
Yeah.
We should do that next week.
Yes. So it's rare. Gavin and I talk a lot. Like, we see each other in the office, but it's rare that Gavin and I text each other. Like, it just doesn't happen that frequently.
Because of the hatred.
Yeah, because of the hatred. Earlier today, I saw something online that I thought would be a really cool Slow-Mo Guys thing. So
it was a GIF.
I sent it to Gavin. I was like, "This would be really cool to see in slow motion."
And I
like instantly he replied, showing me a video. He'd already filmed the exact.
I happened to film it 2 weeks before, and I was like, "Yes, it does look cool." And
can
I showed
you tell
him
you what it was.
No, it's an upcoming video.
Oh. Yeah, I'll put it out soon.
Okay,
it's a soon one.
And it was like instantly I got to see. Like he sent me. Like he filmed with his phone, like a quick little preview of the video and sent it to me.
I do that all the time. Hey, if you look at the instant messaging history between me and Gavin, it's usually just me sending him a GIF of something. Yeah. I'm like, this will look great in something.
We talk quite a lot about stuff that I haven't filmed yet. Like, there's a picture of me holding up the giant balloon before it was inflated.
Yep.
It's like this big. And I'm holding it up, showing it to you. I sent a screenshot of me doing that. And your reply was, you're going to break that camera. And I was like, oh.
That's at what, like 50 million views now?
No, it's like 78 million.
78?
Isn't that crazy?
That's impossible. That's more than the number of people there are in the world.
It's more than the amount of people in England.
Is that true? There's more than 78 million people in the UK?
I think UK is like 65 million or something.
Wow, that is crazy.
That's more than Canada.
Imagine
that's like,
that.
12,000 people in Canada?
I think Canada's like 35 million or something.
33 or 34.
I'm million. Always blown away by the stats of Canada and how pretty much everyone just lives right next to the border of the US.
I think it's 90% of the people live within 100 miles of the border.
And the other 10% are fucking insane.
Yeah,
they're
the
cold.
Other don't leave their house ever.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking cold.
And there's a polar bear down the street waiting for them to come out.
Even within 100 miles of the border, it's still like negative 25 in the winter.
So your house, your Jewish house in Canada, how far away is that from the border?
Just a regular house. Just a normal, everyday
house. My house is in Ottawa, Ontario, so that's probably within 100 miles.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
No, I know Montreal. No, it must be.
How far are you to London? At your house and your place
where
you live,
miles,
I don't want to say out loud.
About 48 miles.
Oh, really? You're only 48 miles from London?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's not bad.
That's not bad. It's about a...
Well, it depends where in London. London's
about like
big.
100 kilometers, I'm sure. Is that right? 48 miles? 48
no.
kilometers?
A kilometer, it's 1.6 miles to a kilometer.
One, to, oh.
No, 1.6 kilometers to
there
a mile.
You go.
Okay,
there we
go. Okay, yeah. I thought I had it totally backwards.
I need another one.
You need another one?
Someone is probably going to call me out for not knowing how many miles Ottawa is from the American border.
I think that's totally normal. That's why I asked about the London
another
thing.
One. You can just say it and Mary will get it.
Well, you guys wouldn't drive down to the U.S. for any reason. In fact, we have somebody here who came down from Canada and wanted to come to the event.
Yeah.
And she couldn't get in because she's 19, because it's a 21 and up club.
That's a boo.
It is a little, I was like, I'm sorry. And she's from Canada where it's like all the clubs are 18 and up. You know what I mean? So it's just like.
Yeah. Well, in Quebec. In Quebec it's 18 and up and everywhere else it's 19 and up.
Oh, is that a French thing?
I don't know. Actually, there are some provinces where it's 18 and up. I just don't know if I'm off.
Because when I was younger, we would always drive out to Baton Rouge or go to New Orleans to go drink.
Baton Rouge is in Louisiana.
In Mexico, we could drink when we were 13.
In Mexico, if you could order it, you can drink it.
Yeah. And then when we were 18, we could go to Louisiana to drink.
Yeah.
So we would go to Louisiana to drink. And then, if I recall correctly, Gus, there was some issue where the federal government said if they didn't change the 21... they were going to take away their federal funds for interstate.
Right, their DOT funding.
Yeah, their DOT funding, Department of Transportation, Transportation funding.
That was like a foreign language, all that stuff that you just said.
Well, yeah, it's very specific to America. And UK is just 18 across
and
the board,
I think
right?
That happened, like that Louisiana thing was, I mean, relatively speaking, not that long ago, like 95, 96, something like that?
It might have been.
Mid-90s.
Yeah, because, I mean, it didn't affect me because I was already 21. Mm-hmm. So it was like, must have been like mid-late 90s, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy to me to think that, you know, they held on to their own standard for so long.
They didn't give a shit. Louisiana doesn't care, man. They are totally different. Like, everything when you go into Louisiana is slightly different. Like, there's no counties there. They have parishes.
Oh, is that what a parish is?
Yeah. A parish is a county.
Oh.
There's no counties in Louisiana. Don't call them that.
I have a really annoying first world problem.
Go ahead.
Sometimes it's fun to talk about those.
Bring it on.
On the iPhone 6 Plus, right? Because the screen is it not wider? Is it wider?
It is wider.
It's wider.
Well.
For some reason, instead of stretching the space bar to be longer to match the screen, the go button is longer.
Could I see?
Which pushes the full stop over into the space bar. So whenever I search something on Safari, there's a dot between every word instead of a space. Do you have that? When you Google something,
I'm checking it right now.
I heard that was a bug, and that it's they're going to fix it in the next update.
Is that why I keep typing dots instead of spaces?
Yeah, like, I can't imagine how many, like, if anyone at Google is monitoring searches, as soon as the iPhone 6 Plus went out, I reckon Google were like, why does every search have dots?
The thing is, a couple days ago on Reddit, I saw a thread that was like, you know, the next software update's going to fix this problem so Google searches don't look like this. And it had dots in between every word. And I was like, what the fuck do they mean? My searches don't look like that. Now I finally understand what they were talking about.
Yeah, it's because I guess when I type, I use my right thumb on the very edge of the space bar. And when you're in Safari doing it, you always hit the period every time.
I want to see it. No one's showing me.
I'll show you right now.
Just say it. You're like trying to talk to them via sign language. Barbara's like, she's like getting tactical. Like,
look at this.
Bernie's just sitting here smiling at me. I'm like, show me.
You can look it up there. So I want to address something. Everyone has asked on Twitter.
It's because right there.
A couple people did ask. Why is everyone's microphone on the left and mine is on the right? It's because I'm talking to the right. Barbara's is actually on the wrong side.
Oh, well, I talk to you more than them.
Okay, well, that's good. See? Now you're working
out. Well, you realize that sound does this from your mouth.
I could look at Gavin and still talk.
On this side, because I'm talking in that direction. And my voice is going that away.
Do you think if you mic'd your eye,
go ahead,
would it pick up your mouth?
Why not?
Like try this. Let's talk like this for the rest of the podcast.
Can you hear me now again?
It's very faint.
Okay.
You do look like a pirate, though, when you do that.
A pirate with a microphone over my eye?
Well,
I don't think
like
you know what a pirate is. Do you know why the pirates would wear eye patches?
Yes, because they would switch it to the other eye when they would go underneath the deck so they could see better in the dark.
I never heard that fact until like 2 years ago. I think somebody just made that
I'm
shit up.
I'm convinced that's horse.
I think
horse
so, too.
Horse is shite.
Like somebody,
I think it's
somebody
real.
At a party
I have faith in humanity.
Came Christ. Up with that. And it's brilliant, but I get this feeling that that's not actually
it's like
true.
The whole you eat 7 spiders in a year when you're asleep.
Exactly
that's
right. And we all
bullshit.
Believe it.
I mean, regular jobs have people who go from bright environments to dark environments. Why doesn't everyone wear an eye patch?
Yeah, but those people aren't like fighting with swords and like stealing treasure.
Yeah,
they
like
suddenly
they
go
they
downstairs and have a fight in the underneath of the ship.
I don't know. Or they might have to go down and come back up with a gun or something. Being a pirate was hard. I don't want to discount
just
the
difficulty wait, like, of being 2 seconds and then come out.
Yeah, but if you're in the middle of a fight, this is between life and death.
I like to think fair you play. Were a pirate in your previous life, Gus.
No.
Being a pirate was hard.
No.
You never got that booty?
Pirates, it's like a really weird thing. I feel like we have this romanticized notion of them. But it's like, in reality, like at the time, if you saw a pirate, you'd be like, ah, oh, fuck, I'm about to die in a horrible way.
Yeah, you're going to get slit open.
Yeah.
Unless it was Johnny Depp.
Yeah, unless you're Captain Jack Sparrow. Or whatever his name was.
There are some few moments in movies where you think that was badass. And one of those moments is in Pirates of the Caribbean for me when he just steps off the ship like right before it sinks so casually. It's just like, that was really cool.
Onto
if I was a girl, I'd be like...
They did some really cool visual effect things, like the sword fight on the giant wheel.
That's the only thing I remember from the entire series,
with the three
honestly.
People. Drinks, bring them on, Mariel.
Hey,
here, I'm gonna read this thing here.
Hold on 1 second.
The good thing about being in a bar is there
hey,
are drinks.
Mariel. Bernie.
Yeah, you go ahead and read that. Okay,
I'm gonna read this. I want to remind everyone, this episode of the podcast is brought to you by MeUndies. 90%. That's the percent of your life that you're in your underwear, and underwear gets old fast. You know that feeling of putting on old saggy underwear? You need to know the feeling of great-fitting underwear that is 2 times softer than cotton. You need to know about MeUndies.com. MeUndies is the most comfortable underwear you'll ever wear, and it's insane how good they make you feel. They fit perfectly, they don't ride up on you, they literally pull moisture away from your skin, so you stay cool. They have cool styles for both men and women, and they all look great. Check out the photos yourself at MeUndies.com. This quality would typically retail for 2 times the MeUndies price. No retail middleman means more savings for you. To make it easy, just go to MeUndies.com/roosterteeth to get 20% off your first order and free shipping. Save even more when you buy a pack of them. They guarantee you're going to be happy or your first pair is free. Once you feel MeUndies on your body, you're never going to go back. But to get that 20% off, you have to go to MeUndies.com/roosterteeth. I'm wearing them right now. They were a sponsor. I got, you know, they sent, you know, a box with like a couple free. I cannot wear normal underwear anymore. I bought all MeUndies underwear.
What percentage
now.
Of your life is in underwear?
They say 90%. I think it's higher than 90%.
Mine's way higher.
Mine's like 99.9% in my underwear.
That you're wearing underwear?
Yes.
I go for
we
one
had
thing.
This discussion.
Yeah.
Because you wear it when you sleep.
I was trying to talk and my mic was above my head.
So. I muted mine.
I'm a professional.
We have a mute button on the side of our chair if we need to cough or say something really offensive.
Do
I
it.
Don't think it works.
That is awful.
I'm sorry.
That is awful.
I'm sorry to everybody who had to hear that.
So I want to introduce someone. We have a special guest here. We have,
I'm Bernie. Nice to meet you.
To your left, asshole. Look over there.
How you doing?
Hey, nice to meet you.
Sally LePage. We talked the other day. We did an interview
yes, did.
Upstairs here at the same venue. And I found out during the interview that Sally's a PhD candidate at Oxford University.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I thought
makes you smarter than anybody in like a 5 mile radius at this
point. Thought,
I feel like we shouldn't be sitting
what
here anymore.
What a great opportunity to have someone come and tell us how stupid we are.
I would never do such a horrible thing.
Bad science on
so
this podcast.
Is this like a math equation here represented? Like if you added up all our smartedness this way, would it equal her?
Well, smartedness is a good one.
Or would she
I don't think it would come close.
Greater than.
So yeah. I made a journal on the Rooster Teeth website.
I think if we multiply ours.
And so, I asked everyone to submit their greatest podcast stories about bad science
that
we talked about.
I'm sure they could barely come up with anything.
How hard is it to get into Oxford?
Oh, you can't see it, but this thing's full.
Well, obviously not that hard if I got in. No, I don't know.
You don't know?
They said just come on, bring it on.
Well, I mean, it's tough. It's one. I mean, I would say it's the top university in the UK.
Yeah, because when I was applying for university, well, I didn't even think about Oxford, even though I lived there. But it was, you know, it's like the
my
top.
My God.
And it's
yeah. British people. In
British
stereo.
Invasion.
Oh, my goodness. You don't know where we're attacking from.
So I'm obviously familiar with Oxford as being a very prestigious university, but I don't know... if Oxford even has a mascot.
You
and
first
does,
have to know how to pronounce Oxford. It's Oxford, not Oxford. Whatever you just said there.
Snooker. So what do you think Oxford's mascot is? At Oxford.
Oxford mascot.
A dictionary.
No, it would be...
It's an old university. Is it the oldest university?
Well, this is the thing. It is the oldest English-speaking university, as far as I'm aware. It's certainly the oldest in the UK.
Okay. It's a tree.
The Oxford tree?
Yes.
I'm going to say it's like one of those things that they use to build Stonehenge. Just like one of the big tablets.
An alien? Oh.
It's like a tablet just sitting out in a field. What is Oxford's mascot?
It's really disappointing. We're too old to have a mascot.
Is that true?
We don't have a
mascot.
At all.
That's why I thought it was a tree. I thought, what would they have like 1,000 years ago?
Because it would predate probably any organized sports.
The mascot
right?
should be a dude inventing mascots.
I mean, we have a Latin motto, and we have a crest of like a shield of a crest thing logo.
Is there anything on the crest? That's
So it's a book, and the book says the motto, which is "Domina Illuminati Meo," I think, which is
Mayo.
"Lord Enlighten
Delicious.
Me."
Enlighten me.
Don't be
something
mayo.
Like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Fancy.
Fair play.
Yeah.
I mean, their mascot is a Latin phrase.
It's a book with a Latin phrase.
Does Oxford at this point in time have any organized sports?
Does it have organized sports?
Yeah, like do you have like a football team?
Yes.
And like
we have every possible team. You
rugby
can...
club and all that? So they're just the
Oxford? Yeah, Bernie, duh.
Oxford is a very large university.
But what do you all chant? Like, books.
Right.
Books.
That's what I'm wondering. So it's like, who do you play for? I play for the Oxford... guys like me.
So in terms of the university, so there's the Oxford-Cambridge boat race, because I'm guessing, even if you haven't really heard much of Oxford, you know that Oxford and Cambridge are big rivals.
Right.
And so we have the boat race, so rowing is the biggest sport, like far and away. So you have basketball and ice hockey, I think, would be your equivalent here. And it's the only collegiate level sport that people watch is the Oxford-Cambridge boat race.
Well, I remember getting drunk at Henley Regatta a few times.
You should pronounce it right.
I did. I almost did.
Jackass.
The Henley Regatta.
So, you know, the Ivy League schools in America basically all like to pretend that they're Oxford. So that's actually, rowing is huge at our Ivy League schools. Like,
yeah.
Crew, right? I mean, is that they call it crew in
yeah,
the UK?
Yeah, okay. Crew.
And cocaine, right? It's big at Ivy League.
Is that big at Oxford?
True or false? Let us know.
So what's the coke levels like at Oxford?
I don't know.
You weren't expecting this, were you?
I was. I didn't know what to say. I've never been offered coke at Oxford, although I have been told that because there are people that study it. And
study
I know,
cocaine?
Yes.
Nice.
And the like the chemical properties, depending on what source you get it
do
from.
Do they, like, test it themselves?
Well, this is the thing. Well, they say that, Cowley Road, which is kind of the more urban, you know Cowley Road. No one else will. Apologies. But, yeah, so that's the place if you want to get your cocaine. That's where you go.
Wow, that's a great tip.
Good to know.
So, shout out. But
I want to comment on something real fast. Before
so
we start,
you're going to be a PhD candidate at Oxford, now you know where to get your cocaine.
Can you get a degree in cocaine?
I could.
I mean, I already did.
Before we started the podcast, I was sitting down here talking with Sally, and so I was like, you know, is there any like type of language restriction on the podcast? Are there any out-of-bound topics? I said, listen, you can say whatever you want. It's like, it's up to you. Whatever you feel comfortable saying, you're more than welcome to say it. And here we are now talking about cocaine and Oxford.
We actually do have a general rule at the company, which is you can say whatever you want to on camera, but everyone also has the right to kind of veto if they've said anything that's off-color or anything like that.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe that joke was not so good. This would be the one exception to that because this is live streamed. So anything you say is straight out to the internet.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, everybody said that.
There's
like, yeah,
a way to make me feel at home and relaxed and nice and easy.
So PhD candidate in what field of study?
So I do evolutionary biology and I study sex, which is why I needed to check what I could say.
Why don't we talk about that instead of the cocaine
My
stuff?
My favorite topic.
Yeah, but like evolutionary sex?
Is it
like...
So I study the evolution of sexual behaviors rather than sex itself. So I only in flies. I always forget to add that it's not in humans. It's in fruit flies.
Drosophila.
Drosophila, yeah.
Sex in fruit
Nailed
flies.
It.
Sex in fruit flies. And I watch flies having sex, and I bring together two big areas of evolutionary biology. There's the social evolution, which is how you're nice to your relatives. So
I have filmed Drosophila shagging.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
with a macro lens, they're like this, and like I watched one get born from a gross little egg thing. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Well,
so I do
they
that
have to
on
like inflate their head and
scale.
Stuff.
I'm not trying to quiz you here, but I'm actually genuinely curious.
Yeah.
How many species besides humans have sex for reasons other than procreation? Like recreational
Some
sex.
Pleasure.
Number, I don't know. Bonobos, for example, they're our closest cousin. They're a type of chimpanzee.
Uh-huh.
Their entire social structure is based on sex.
Really?
And so they shag to say hello. They shag to sort out the hierarchies. I just realized shag isn't a common US word.
No, we got it.
We can follow. We have Gavin here.
They're used to me.
You're used
so.
To it. Okay.
Yeah, you very rarely talk about shagging, though.
Don't bonobos also trade food
yes,
for sex sometimes?
So bonobos have this one of what we could call prostitution, which is where, so the males are the ones that go out and hunt the meat. And if the females want extra meat, then they will just shag a male to get some more meat in their diet.
I'll give you the sandwich for a PJ.
What about oral sex? That's a good question. Is oral sex
very
specific to Homo sapiens?
Homo sapiens, way to try to class it up.
Well, we're talking about species here.
Everyone's
Look,
seen that video
I'm
of
getting
the,
smarter. It's going to head this way soon. You'll see.
There's that video of the monkey
who... The so monkey and frog.
Yeah, the monkey who gobs himself off with a frog.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that counts as oral sex, though.
What does it count as?
Well, it's certainly not consensual.
Right, certainly
yeah.
not.
Yeah, yeah, but what is consensual in the animal kingdom, really?
What's
deep. Well, they're like really deep.
That is, it's a really good question.
What humans invented consensual, right?
That's true.
I think animal...
No, actually, this is a point. So I give a talk on sex in the animal world, and this is a point that I make, is that, I mean, so there are examples in penguins. So you know the penguins in the John Lewis adverts?
Mm-hmm.
They actually are a species of penguin called the daily penguins that have been reported to have rape and necrophilia, and their sexual behavior has been studied loads about 100 years ago by this guy that was doing some expedition in the Antarctic.
Has anybody, like, gone back and checked his work?
Or this is the thing. His work was only published 2 years ago because it was too saucy to be published. And he thought it was so bad, the things that he'd done, that he'd written over some of his observations of these penguins and coded it into Greek alphabet just so that it couldn't fall into the wrong hands.
Oh my God.
And offend somebody, potentially?
Yes. So he had 5 papers on penguins, the last of which was like penguin sexual behaviors.
Penguins.
And that last one was the penguins? One that was.
Penguins are
not
assholes.
Published.
Penguins.
That's the Benedict Cumberbatch pronunciation.
Penguins.
But I mean, that's kind of screwed up. That you observe something, you know, from a scientific perspective, and you think it's too risque for the time, and so you can't report on it.
Yeah. So I mean,
I immediately call his judgment into question, though, if he's like writing down penguin necrophilia.
Well, this is what happened. So this was happening in the 20s. But then, if you take it back even further, so Charles Darwin also studied a lot of sex because, I mean, sex is really important in biology because you've got the whole surviving and reproducing. But his daughter and his wife were the ones that were proofreading his manuscripts. And
his
so
daughter?
We, yeah, and so we think that one of the reasons why he doesn't actually go too much into the knowledge of sex that he almost certainly would have had the amount he was studying these animals, for example, barnacles and worms, he famously studied for years and years. I think earthworms he studied for 7 years. And so he will have known about their sex habits. But he didn't write about them, and we think it's because that would have been just a bit too prudish.
That's why it's like, Charles, come on.
Earthworms are horny as fuck.
Wait, how does a barnacle shag?
Barnacles have the largest penis relative to their
right
body size of any
really?
Animal.
What, is it like bigger than their body?
Yes, many,
really?
Many times. So if you think about it, if you're stuck on a rock and there are
Look
no females
barnacle.
Around you,
get
the
out
only
there,
way
right?
you can get it out is to have a flipping long penis. And so they have the longest penis relative to body size of any animal.
Wow. Well, I mean, besides
like
me.
Second to Gus.
Yeah.
Imagine just being like another barnacle on a rock and you just get tickled by this thing. It's like, ah, oh, it's just some other barnacle's cock.
You're like, oh, there's a fly on me. Oh, fuck.
But it is like, Gus, I think you'll have to check this, but I think if we scaled it up so that if you had a penis larger than a barnacle, it would be about 24 foot long.
Oh, I'm
24
than that.
Foot long.
Your
I'm
cock.
Like, I'm 25.
Your cock could get booze.
Yeah, my cock's downstairs right now. It's it looks like an XLR cable.
Well, you talk about like so you know one of their barnacles hitting you with its penis, but even more insulting. Well, like I could have sex with Gus across you. Like that to me seems like you'd be like, okay, guys, just take it.
Knocking over all our drinks and everything.
How insulting would that be? People have sex across you. They're just like, you're not. I'm gonna go for this person over here.
It's like the ultimate bad roommate.
You say that as if that hasn't happened before.
So your roommate's your neighbor.
Yeah. Like you think your neighbors are allowed having sex? Imagine if. Like your two neighbors on opposite sides of your apartment are having sex across your apartment.
You just see the windows, and there's like a dick going across the windows from the other house.
Then you're in Gus's apartment complex. But it does make me wonder. Like you hear about stuff like ISIS. They just went through, and I'm not exactly sure what they destroyed, but they destroyed like some kind of iconography or some religious artifact that was, thousands of years old, but didn't agree with their current modern day theology. So they go through and destroy this stuff for all of time. They just, like, crush it, and it's gone. And it makes me wonder, too, like, you know, how many people throughout history, scientists or whomever, made discoveries, then passed away, and the people who went through their archives then, for the benefit of that person, just removed what they considered to be sensitive material, and then we lost that research and that
selective
knowledge.
History.
Yeah. I mean, everything is edited, essentially, you know? I mean, we have an edited view of history, but it makes me wonder if we've lost discoveries.
Well, I mean, you've got the question of Fermat's Last Theorem, which was a really famous mathematical proof. I can't remember what it was exactly
X
that he was...
X cubed plus Y cubed equals Z cubed.
There we go. Nerd.
See that? Look at
it.
That.
And so
I went to math camp.
Fermat, who was this mathematician, was reading, and he wrote in the margin of his work, he said, oh yeah, I've solved this, but it's just a little bit too long to write in the margin, but I've done it.
No, I think what he wrote was, I've discovered an elegant proof to this equation.
But it's like, which is too long
for
this margin.
For this margin, yeah.
And then dies.
Wow. I'll get to it later.
And nobody for a good 50, 60 years, everyone is trying. And I mean, they put money up for this. I think you could win millions of pounds if you could prove what Fermat was trying to prove at the end. And only eventually have they proved it. And they think that Fermat didn't have the proof after all and that he got the maths wrong.
That's fantastic. But it drove the discovery of it.
And I think the proof that even that they developed was not, you know, elegant. It was a multi-page, really long
proof. Which
is
why they think that he got the maths wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we should get to our list of questions that were provided by the audience of things that we've gotten horrifically wrong on the podcast.
Have you been warned about how terrible we are at science?
I've been shown the list of things, which gives me a little bit of an indicator. I wouldn't say it's terrible. They're really interesting questions, actually. And bringing it back to Oxford, they kind of remind me of Oxford interview
questions. Well, here's what happens with our science. It's like four idiots. Well, I'll be idiot prime. Yeah. And then it just bounces between... to like four idiots and then into a snowball of idiocy, and that's how we come
I
up with these questions.
I tend to stay out of it and just let it go between these three mostly.
Okay.
But it all stems from this one.
Okay, well today you can take charge.
Yes.
And we're going to involve everybody in
science.
The science.
Alright, so I've got a list here. Like I said, I made a journal on the Rooster Teeth website and I asked people to submit their favorite bad science moments from the podcast. Got a list and we're going to talk about them here. So the first one.
Very sciencey.
You look good, Barbara.
I wanted to feel smarter for this section of the podcast, so I'm wearing Bernie's glasses.
The first one was my stupid. I feel like this is the stupidest I've ever been on the podcast. Can an airplane take off on a slippery runway? AKA, could an airplane take off if it was on a treadmill and not actually moving forward?
And what did you say at the time?
At the time, I said no.
It would be impossible.
He said that an airplane couldn't take off without wheels.
Right.
Because it needs the wheels spinning. To take off.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said.
Right.
But really, right, it's just the thrust from the jets. It could slide along ice and take off, right?
So
if it wanted to.
Could a jet take off on a treadmill?
So if you've got an airplane on a treadmill, and this means that the airplane is being pushed backwards, but it is rolling itself forward and is staying in the same place. Basically, it's equivalent, I'm not a physicist, by the way, but it's equivalent to just having the wheels moving and none of the air around the aeroplane moving. Having a massive aeroplane and just some tiny wheels moving isn't going to lift a massive aeroplane.
So I have a question.
Do you? What's your question?
If the...
We should preface something very important that Sally just said. You're not a physicist.
No, I am not.
A lot of these
not.
Are physics questions.
I haven't even done a full physics GCSE. I did dual science at school.
So you do more like biology kind
very,
of stuff.
Very, very much biology. But I can give you a good stat.
But you're still probably way smarter than all four of us.
If it makes you feel any better, we're also really horrible at sex. So you can answer some of those questions for us.
So does that count to any speed? Like, say the treadmill was 20,000 miles an hour and somehow the plane
still,
is also going.
All that's happening.
Just the lack of air.
If you change your perspective on it, if you look at the plane as stationary, there are no forces acting on it other than the wheels spinning around. Because the air isn't moving around it.
What about gravity?
If the air doesn't move over the wing, so there's no change in pressure.
This is the
thing.
The way that an airplane lifts is that you have air flowing underneath the wings and the shape means that you get thrust.
So if there was a massive fan and the plane was still, could it then take off without going anywhere?
If you had an absolutely massive fan that was angled in the right way, then I suppose probably yes.
Yes.
So you'd
but
have
then
to-
you've effectively just blown an object into the air.
Right. It doesn't really
it's like if I send a massive blast wave at an object, will it move? Yes.
So you'd have to have like a 200 mile an hour
blast
of wind out
chances
of this fan.
Chances are it might move, yes.
The most important thing I got from that conversation is massive thrust.
I was going to ask the dumbest question ever, which is if you took a massive fan and attached it to the front of the plane and blew on the plane. Could the plane then take off and fly? But that's basically what a propeller is. That's basically what a propeller is.
I don't think the fan would like that very much, personally.
What? Hey, take a fan of the plane? It'd be an enormous fan.
Can
though,
I also
so
say, you keep on saying the dumbest questions. Like these, they're just questions. Like, that's how science works.
Don't try to make us feel better about this. It's not going to work.
Okay. Really?
Okay, well, let me ask you a really dumb question.
Dumb is what pays
the bills.
A
really interesting
this
question.
This is a really
She's like a really nice
question.
Teacher in elementary school.
So, we had a conversation. Gavin here, who's our medical expert, said, if you were feeling sick, or like, let's say you're feeling nauseous, mm-hmm. that you could tell yourself in your mind, just stop.
Just don't.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Yep.
Is that possible?
Yes.
It is.
Is it really? Are you kidding?
So, well, this is the thing. So I was thinking about this. I'm no medic. I'm just going to put a disclaimer. I don't actually know the answer to any of these questions, but I can give it a good go. So there are people that can self-hypnotize. And these people can self-hypnotize to the extent that they can have surgery.
Oh,
so there are YouTube videos, I think, of people having their wisdom teeth pulled out,
what?
Of having open chest surgery.
I watched a video
just under hypnosis.
Of a woman. She had to keep like a little ball of spit on her tongue, and she just had to concentrate on that. And they were like cutting the back of her leg open, like
yeah.
moving veins around and stuff. And she was just like completely conscious, not even, and her leg was open, and they were just hacking into it. Not like, you know, but
oh
just
my
like,
god,
yeah.
So, corollary or a secondary follow-up question yeah. to this: if you're dying of starvation. Let's say you're in a desert.
Yeah.
You're in the middle of Sahara Desert.
So specific.
You're dying of starvation.
Yeah, the Atacama Desert won't do. It has to be the Sahara.
10 feet in front of you, you see a sandwich. Can you live long enough knowing that there's a sandwich just barely? If you live just a little longer, you could grab the sandwich.
This originated from like, whenever someone starves to death in the desert,
yeah.
they end up somewhere. Like, the guy died here. But yes. my thinking was, if he was here and saw a sandwich here... Would he have kept on living just further enough to get the sandwich, or would he have still died
I
right
see.
There?
So, yes and no. So there are things where it's amazing what the brain can do, and they do say that if you kind of give people incentives to live, then you can kind of push that a little bit further. And there are things where if you play music to people, for example, that really changes... Thing. So when people are in comas and they think, oh no, all is lost, and then they play the music and then suddenly you see brainwaves. And if you have people that have degenerate diseases, so maybe Alzheimer's, for example, if you treat them as if they don't have it, then to some extent the brain kind of compensates and they show fewer symptoms.
Really?
It's things like brain training.
This is starting to scare me. I'm starting yeah. to think I have something
That's
and you guys are just acting like I don't.
So the brain is incredible. Whether it can go to the extent of starvation, I don't know. But, I mean, the brain can do some really crazy things. Because like, think of the placebo effect. Like, the placebo effect is that people think that homeopathy is amazing because it does have an effect. It's just the effect is no better than a placebo. But the placebo is still your brain changing how you feel. And that's a pretty powerful thing. So, in a sense, maybe? I don't know.
So for homeopathic medicines, a lot of times they are very clear to state that these things don't do anything. Like, there's a study, and the government will say, I think the Australian Board of Medicine just recently said homeopathic remedies don't do anything. But is it almost, in a way, a little bit irresponsible to do that? Because you're robbing people of a very real, potentially, placebo effect.
I'm fairly certain that there are studies that show that even if you tell people it's a placebo effect, they still feel the placebo effect.
Really?
I think. I don't know if it's the same strength, but I'm fairly certain that you do still get it. So I can take... placebo things and still get the same effect.
I wonder if someone could you know, in a way instigate that. Like, you're educated about the placebo effect. If someone, a doctor, a trained professional that you would trust, said, here's a sugar pill, this has a placebo effect that will cure your indigestion, and then you take it, even if you just like made that up on the spot. If you could, like, induce a placebo effect or
so
something.
So this is the big... So we've got, firstly, the lab coat effect, which is that we're more likely to believe people in lab coats, so that if a person in a lab coat gives it to you, the placebo effect will be stronger.
Really?
Another thing about the placebo effect that's really cool is two pills work better than one, even if they're sugar pills. An injection, a saline injection, works better than a pill. sham surgery works... So the more invasive and the more horrible you think it is, the more benefit you think you're going to get.
I'm going to start wearing a lab coat.
I never thought about this. So then... When people do like placebo studies, it's not just a pill every time. There's also injections or like a whole wide array.
There's a whole thing, yeah. And you've got things like blue pills work better when you need to calm someone down, and red pills work better when you need to spruce someone up.
What about if the pills are given to you by Lawrence Fishburne?
I was going to make that fucking joke.
From The Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
Get thrown into reality.
I've got to say, as
I
someone
can never
who
remember which one was which,
as someone who wears a lab coat a lot, I feel happy with this information.
I don't think anyone believes
it. I was going to say, I need to start wearing a lab coat now from now on, no matter what.
Wear a lab coat on the pod. You know, it is true, though. When you wear the lab coat on Slow Mo Guys, people are always marveling about how intelligent you are on Slow Mo Guys versus every other moment of your life where they don't
but
marvel at
how
while you were saying this, I was thinking I should also be wearing a monocle. Like, would that help as well?
Because then you have a lab coat, an English accent, and a monocle. You are officially intelligent.
You're set.
That's all you need.
Okay, I'm gonna work my way down the list here.
You got it.
Next one. Okay, so this one requires a little bit of setup. The basic question is, what is the speed of push?
Oh, this is a really interesting question. So, yeah. I actually know the answer to this one.
So the setup is, if you had a pole that was 1 light-year long and you pushed it on one end, how long does it take the push to travel down the entire length of the pole to get to the other end?
Do you know why this is such an interesting question?
Because I don't know the answer.
Because nobody has a 1 light-year long pole. Not even a barnacle.
You don't know.
You don't know me. Well, the thought is that nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, okay? And that includes information. And it's really important that you know the universe has this speed limit on it, which is the speed of light. And so the thought was, well, if we have a pole that's 1 light-year long and we pushed it and it instantaneously got pushed at the other end, that would mean that information was traveling instantaneously in the time it would take light, in a space that would take light a year to do.
Right.
Which means the information would be traveling faster than the speed of light, which wouldn't be possible. And so the reason that it's not is because actually what you're doing when you push is you're compressing the atoms in the material and sending a pressure wave all the way down the material. And pressure wave through a material is what sound is. So the pressure wave will only travel through the material at the speed of sound, and that's why it will take you much, much longer.
Which, compared to the speed of light, is slow as hell.
Yes.
So does that mean, say I have this pole that's a light year long.
Right.
I'm at one end like this, like ready to give it a right shove. And you're at the other end, bent over, and it's like right next to your anus.
Go ahead.
This.
Let me hold the table so you don't drop that.
Would you let
you
me
have my attention now?
Would you let me shove it?
If I have a light year to figure
out. Yeah, more
that
than a light year, because if it moves at the speed of sound.
I mean, obviously, it's not, nothing's going to happen to you, but would
I
you
have
feel.
A year.
Would
a
you
light
feel,
year's a year.
Yeah, but
right?
Yeah, more than a year.
Would you
because
feel weird about
traveling
it?
At the speed of light.
Oh, yeah, I have more than a year. Yeah.
You have, like, thousands of years.
So my question is, how. Is there anywhere on Earth where you could replicate that lag? Like, could you ever observe the lag on Earth? Like, if you had a pole that was, like, 1,000 miles long.
It seems to me that if I measured a pole, right, and then I pushed it and took a picture of it, the pole would be shorter in the photo. No, look, because it's compressed.
It's compressed.
It's some. I guess it's compressed on an atomic level, but it seems like that measurably, if that's true at a light year, then that's true. It's a constant, so it's true at this level as well.
I think here's how this theory falls apart. If you had a 1,000-mile-long pole, you just couldn't push it, could you?
It would just take so much effort to push it.
Not on Earth. Not on Earth.
You
right?
Get a machine to push it. It wouldn't be a person. Yeah, you could, like, some science thing.
You'd have to go to some science thing. Thanks, guys. You'd have to go to space because you couldn't. I mean, 1,000 miles would curve.
Well, I mean,
the
even in space, you would shove it and you would end up like going that way, wouldn't you? Because it's going to be way heavier than you.
But no, you just like put your back up against the moon. Push like that.
That's it's
how
leverage.
You, that's how you do it in space, dude. That's how everybody.
Just find
does
a moon, put your back up
so
against
I'm
it.
I'm pushing
you that swimming thing that like moves you around in space. That works, right?
Okay, I just have a couple more. So I'm gonna get through these. I'm gonna skip.
By the way,
here,
of all of our death scenarios we've come up with, I would hate more. We talked about like being stranded in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Okay.
Recently, being trapped in a spacesuit, flipping through space, that would be the worst way to die, and just waiting for your air to rise.
Well, you see, gravity, right?
Well, if you're flipping too fast, and the blood will drain from your face.
Or we go up. If you're flipping like this, right?
Yeah.
It depends which way you're spinning. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's
But either way, you'll probably black out.
Yeah, let's hope so, right? I mean, because then you're in a situation where you can't actually
do anything.
You can't even kill yourself. Yeah. Not
can
to
you
be
just
morbid.
Take off your helmet?
I wonder if spacesuits have some kind of like suicide thing built into them.
Well, like a bunch
you
of spikes.
So.
That was actually. You ever see the movie
like
Contact
injection.
With Jodie Foster?
I haven't.
I can't pronounce anything. They Foster. they have a great moment in that film where she's going to go into this like experimental like rift making machine. That's they never say it in the movie, but it basically makes a wormhole. And they at the last moment they give her a pill. And they say something that's, like, so profound but, like, so frightening at the same time. They say, you know, you could get trapped, you could be without air, This will kill you instantly without pain. It's for a lot of reasons, but mainly it's for all the reasons that we can't think of. That's why you need to bring this pill with you. And it's like such a frightening thing. It's like when scientists are doing things and they're pushing the envelope, they're going into environments where they just don't know.
What is the speed of push of an envelope?
Oh, my God.
But it's like so crazy to think about that. It's like you have to acknowledge the limits of where we are in our knowledge and just realize that, like, we just don't know. You know what I mean? We could, like, when they broke the sound barrier, they didn't really know what would happen. You know what
right.
I mean?
And they thought it was impossible.
Right.
And it was like, if it happens, we don't know what's going to happen.
Right. I mean, we deal with that with the Hadron Collider, where it's like, there's a lot of people going, it's going to make a micro black hole and, like, suck everything in and... You know, but we don't know. But that's why we're doing it, just to figure out what it will do.
Well, we know that it won't cause a black hole.
What, does it make micro ones and they just don't have the gravity? No, not at all? So how did that start? Like, how does that...
The Daily Mail. All
right. Good answer. Fair play.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so, question. Fundamental question. How many senses do people have?
Oh, shit. I don't want to be involved in this conversation.
I want to say, first of all, this conversation has been skewed as to what I was saying. I said that there's five senses one time. I said, well, the five human senses.
Okay.
Gavin corrected me.
Yeah.
And he said, you're absolutely wrong. There's more than five senses. And I said, how many are there? And he goes, well, there's way more than five. And I said, first of all, a sense is an arbitrary distinction. Calling something a sense. It's not like there's a classification.
Yeah, but surely a sense is you receive information some way and you learn about your surroundings.
Well, you said there's a sense of gravity, right? That was one of your classifications?
Well, like, you can sense which way up you are.
But nobody can say how many senses there are. Even though they tell me that I'm wrong, that there's, when I say there's five, everyone else says, no, you're absolutely wrong. And it's, well, how many are they? Go, don't know. But more than five. It's like, if it's a solid answer and this distinction is something that you can apply to something, then you would know when you've run out of senses.
Well, surely it's like, how many colors are there?
Nope.
There's more than five. Well, but how many are there?
I'm not saying there's
five colors.
You make
a valid point, Gavin.
I think I do.
Yeah, that was a pretty good
point. No, but if, like, but listen, I mean, seriously, if you ask me, I'm trying to count in my head here, but if I said there's seven colors and you said, no, there's way more than that, you would essentially be right because you can have this refinement of colors, but guess what? There's really only seven colors.
There's only three, right?
Right, what? Even that, you could even say there's just three.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
What are you on about?
But do you understand what I'm saying? We're giving context.
That's like you can have everything.
It's the refinement that's arbitrary to me. I'm sorry. I'm taking away from your time.
All right.
So I always get upset when this comes up.
So
it's been a very heated debate aside,
how many senses are there?
So this is the point where I was told that I would be having to combat your bad science.
I'm going
to
hold my mute button.
But the answer is more than five.
Oh.
You guys didn't hear that, but Bernie said that's such bullshit.
I didn't want to offend our guest.
So, for example, it takes more than that to offend me. So we have proprioception, which is if you shut your eyes, you know where your arms are in relation to the rest of your body.
And I was explaining stuff like this, like temperature and all that other stuff. He was just saying that's feel, and it's the same thing as feeling.
It's a refinement of the sense of touch.
Yeah, that was it.
No.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. How many senses are there?
More than five.
All right.
Don't worry, Bernie. I'm with you. You and me.
Right.
We're together.
But I mean, this is the thing. I mean, there are difficulties in how you classify things. And as humans, we do like to put things into little boxes. And as a biologist, you get into all kind of stuff with that. So someone who studies evolution, we're like, oh, what's a species? It's like, you're literally trying to take something that we have shown to be on a continuum and say, where does it start and where does it stop? You're always going to have problems. And with senses, I mean, you could say that sound is a special type of touch because actually it's
absolutely
how the pressure interacts with the cilia in your ears. And so in that sense, it's very difficult to make the distinction between, well, what is this type of sense and what is this type of sense? But by most people's definition of interpreting the world and taking in stimuli, we have more than five.
Fair enough. Well, what you're saying, I totally agree with. The thing that I reject is the fact that people tell me that I'm wrong about that, because that's the refinement that I choose to use.
Right.
I want you to be on every single podcast that we ever do from this point on.
Only because she's proving you right.
I want you to be here instead of him. You're like the smart version of him.
All right,
the
British tag out.
I've only got two more.
All right, two more here.
Okay, so let's say we're here on Earth, and...
Let's say...
Imagine. It's hard to imagine.
I'm setting. So imagine that we're on a planet called
Earth.
Okay,
think.
One light year away in space, a mirror magically appears.
Oh, I love this question.
If we look at it...
How did you get onto this question?
If you're looking at this mirror from a telescope on Earth...
Because we have to talk for an hour and a half.
1 year in the past? Do you see in the past... Well, do you see in the past at all? If you see in the past, do you see 1 year in the past? Or do you see 2 years in the past, since it's 1, 2?
I like this question.
Could you look into the past?
Two.
Okay.
It's like when you're looking in a mirror and you're doing your makeup and you've got to stand really, really close because what you're seeing...
We all know that.
...looks... Of course you do. what you're seeing looks to you twice as far away because you've got you, then the distance to the mirror, and what you're focusing on is the distance again the other side, which is why you have actually got to kind of stand much closer to get it. So you can actually see it and focus on it.
I like that explanation.
Also, whenever you take a picture of yourself in the mirror, your phone is always the same size to you. Wait, what is it?
What?
No. Okay, so
if you wave your phone in front of a mirror, it magically changes size.
If the mirror magically appeared in space, you would have to wait. We would have to wait a year before we could see it because of
imagine
the distance.
If you sent a laser beam, or a photon, a particle of light, just like that. You can imagine it taking a year to get to the mirror. You're not going to see it then. It has to bounce back for the information to come back to you.
Which would take another year.
Yeah.
So could you see in the past?
Yeah.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we use surveillance of the past? Why don't we have this in place, ready to go?
Well, it's kind of called YouTube, where you have cameras and then stick it on the internet and you can watch things back from
the past. What if nobody was filming it? We'll just look in the mirror and see what happened then.
But then
I'll look in the mirror in June, and we'll see what happened like 2 years ago in June.
You will have to have an infinite series of mirrors an infinite distance away to be able to... And you don't even have to start from now. But, I mean, we see in the past when we look at stars. I'm guessing you know that.
Yeah.
And so we would have to have mirrors at each time point that we wanted to see.
Yeah, but we could set that up, and then the NSA could take their giant telescope and be like, oh, we need to see what happened at this date and turn to a specific... mirror.
You think the NSA has a telescope?
The NSA is fucking... I mean, the NSA is great.
What if you don't have a mirror?
A satellite, maybe.
What if you just have, like, a mirrored sphere where...
I have tons of those.
They sponsored this podcast. Shout out to the NSA.
But also,
I want to hear the mirrored sphere. She brought up a point that really kind of blew my mind there, which is...
Wow.
If I take my camera and I turn on the front-facing camera...
Yeah.
I'm not... That's a shorter distance. I'm looking at that flat on the screen, the image of myself.
Yes.
So my girlfriend uses hers now to look at her eyes and everything for eye makeup and stuff. So that kind of blew my mind. I never thought of a mirror as being three-dimensional.
Right.
But this is not three-dimensional.
Right, that there's depth to it. I never thought about that
there's
either.
There's a
right.
really interesting video on YouTube by Physics Girl, which is that mirrors
She's awesome.
Flip things as well.
Well, like, you've only ever seen yourself in a mirror, but other people see you differently.
A different side, yeah.
Yeah, we,
the Abraham Lincoln thing, right?
I filmed a video with my wife the other day. We did like a little gameplay video.
Tell us more.
Video.
We're about to get back in your field of study here.
She was looking at the monitor of us as we're sitting there playing a video game, and she said, you know, it looks weird. Something's wrong. And I said, well, this is, you know, a video image. This is you.
Yeah. What you actually look like.
Yeah, it's like, this is what you look like. You're not looking at yourself in a mirror. Mm-hmm. And it was like that whole, like, oh, yeah, wow, that's really weird to see yourself that way.
Well, especially as someone who's got a side fringe. Like, I only got that done recently. It always surprises me that it goes the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I feel you.
It's so shocking.
Then it's like, should I start parting it the other way?
Exactly.
So that's
it looks
what,
like what I think
see.
It looks like.
Yeah. You guys don't.
What do you think about like when your cock goes one way?
I don't think about it very often. In the mirror, I'm always shocked. I'm like, what? Hanging left?
Where is it?
How did that happen?
I mean, yeah.
All right, last one.
Okay. All right, we got it.
We're going to end with a big one. Which is better, Celsius or Fahrenheit, a.k.a. metric or imperial?
No, wait. Let's... All right, go ahead. You can answer the question without any kind of bias.
Kelvin.
As a Brit... Celsius. As a scientist, Kelvin.
Fahrenheit, nowhere to be seen.
Well, here's.
God, I've been talking about barbecues and robots and stuff for these videos I've been making in America for GE, and they've been talking things at me in Fahrenheit. I don't even have a perception of what things are.
Well, it doesn't make any
goddamn
sense.
I was a big Celsius believer until I heard Bernie's explanation of why Fahrenheit is better.
I presented my case for Fahrenheit.
What was your case again?
May I present my case for Fahrenheit?
I'm going to counteract yours immediately after you finish talking.
Actually, before you say it, can I say what I think your argument might be?
What would it be?
So the 0 Fahrenheit is cold outside, 100 Fahrenheit is warm outside, and therefore that's the most important temperatures for people.
No, more so, I mean, we agree that the scale of 0 to 100 is something that we just lock onto as humans, right? That's an important scale.
Yeah.
So if you look at the Fahrenheit scale from 0 to 100, it's the survivable temperatures of human beings. That if you get above 100 degrees, you're in trouble of dying. And if you're in an environment that's below 0 degrees Fahrenheit, you're in very great danger
of
dying.
What happens if you got a jumper?
What's that?
What happens if you got a jumper or a sweater?
Did you guys switch places?
Yeah, I was like, a what?
And even like, you know, when I look at the useful scale of Celsius, it's very useful from 0 degrees up to about like 45. And then there's pretty much nothing between 45 and 100.
Yeah, but you could use the exact same argument for 212 is boiling in Fahrenheit, correct?
Which I realize is arbitrary.
So between 100 and 212... there's nothing.
Right, but we're focusing on the 0
right,
to 100.
And so we don't use those very often.
And
why
more,
do you have to focus on 0?
There's
zero
more
100?
Precision between 0 and 100 than there is between 0 and 45.
I'm just saying that for everyday people, for using a temperature scale, they're going to use the degrees of Fahrenheit.
Here's the way
every
I see
day.
It. I have a Nest at home.
Yeah.
It's stuck in Fahrenheit because of Meg. The difference between 74 degrees and 75 degrees... bollocks.
Huge.
Absolutely
huge.
Nothing.
Huge difference.
Are you having a laugh?
Let me tell you something. If
you know what it matters? When you're in a relationship.
My Nest at home in the summer, I have an air conditioner set to 76.
I'm so confused. Why do you have Nests?
A Nest is a digital thermostat. It's a brand.
Okay.
We're not
you can control it via your smartphone. So our in the summer, our thermostat is set to 76. If I move our thermostat to 77, my wife is instantly like, why is it so hot in here? What happened? You know, and she can tell that 76 to 77 difference. There
you can't is 76.
So that's my house.
Yeah. That's fucking hot.
I'm so wow. I don't want to like spend money on fucking electricity.
Oh well, I guess in the summertime maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what, but in the winter, I'll set it to like, I don't know, I don't want to set it to 70.
Yeah. Okay.
And then if I set it to 69,
then it's freezing cold.
I heard the saddest conversation of the other day, which is Michael keeps Lindsay and Michael's apartment freezing cold.
It is the coldest place in the universe in Michael and Lindsay's apartment.
One time, I had a bet with my wife. One winter, we said, let's play a game of chicken. Let's see how far in the winter we can get before one of us wants to turn the heater on. We got all the way to like mid-January, like freezing, like multiple levels of like cush of comforters. And
what did you bet? Did you bet money?
No, it was just like, oh,
stubbornness.
I'm fine. Yeah, I don't need the heater.
I like that it was probably really good for the environment.
No, and then like in the middle of winter, it's like 45 degrees in our house in the middle of the night, and I'm like, can we please just both give up now?
Well, all the houses here are made
of
like...
That's you losing, by the way.
Yeah, I lost. I lost.
Every house in Austin is made of like... plywood. You must be able to see your breath.
My house is actually made of wood here.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Bizarre.
My house is made of wood.
So,
what are houses in the UK made of? Like stacked
brick. Probably stone,
bricks.
Yeah.
Like grass roofs.
And brick.
Like
grass roofs and clouds.
Thatch is very old.
Jude Law's teeth.
Carve them into the hills.
Jude Law's teeth.
Jude Law's teeth? What does that even mean?
Jude Law's hair. That's why it's slowly going away.
Oh, it's a great Jude Law movie the other day, I gotta say. Like, we did a lot of stuff this week with Spy, the movie, which is coming out, and I got tickets to go see the premiere. Melissa McCarthy might be one of the funniest people on the planet. That movie was hilarious.
She's funny as nubs.
Totally mismarketed as a Jason Statham movie, though. It's totally a Melissa McCarthy movie, and it's fucking funny.
I watched Furious 7.
And then, what'd you think?
I liked it. I didn't like it. I mean, they're ridiculous movies.
How was the stuff, like, after Paul Walker died? Could you tell the difference?
I could. I saw it with Dan and Meg. I could definitely tell the shots that he was... already dead for.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because they just shot the movie. It's really interesting how the filmmaking was different. Like, they had to keep shooting him from either really wide or, like, he was in shadow. And there were a few shots where they had to CG his face. Like, because they used his brothers as doubles. They would CG Paul Walker's face onto his brother. And to me, it was, like, way into the Uncanny Valley territory of just, like, it looks slightly off, but you don't know why. But it was impressive what they did. It was really, like, it gets by.
Paul Walker actually brings up a point that happened earlier this year. Sally, you have a YouTube channel as well.
I do.
You want to tell people what it is?
Which camera do I look at so I can do the shameless plug?
There you go, right?
Let's go
there.
This one here. Yeah. Okay, shameless plug. My YouTube channel is called Shed Science, and you can find it at youtube.com/ShedScience. And because I'm here with GE, I should also say that I'm making videos on their channel, although I don't know the URL of it.
It's,
sorry,
GE. The series is called Fiction Fast Forward.
There are going to be several series on it, though. So if you like movies and robots and trains and stuff, go to GE's channel.
Ooh, which I if sure, our audience does love.
If you like sex and evolution and animals and behavior, go to my channel.
So
there we go. And shameless plug over.
The first Fiction Fast Forward, I'm going to continue.
Okay.
First Fiction Fast Forward episode is about robotics, artificial intelligence,
yep.
specifically with
Based
Chappie.
On the film Chappie, yes.
And that comes out this week sometime.
No, it comes out. Already came out, didn't it?
What day is it today?
Today's Monday.
Today is Monday. Okay, I've been doing so many interviews for this thing, I've lost what day it is. So it comes out tomorrow.
Okay, great.
I thought Chappie already came out.
Oh, the video. The movie Chappie is already out, but the video at the science behind Chappie
Smoke bomb.
Is tomorrow.
What do you think is the biggest threat to humanity?
Other humans.
Wait. Did Bernie's argument about Fahrenheit persuade you at all?
That,
oh, yeah, sure. I'm sorry. We got off topic.
That's a load of bull.
I'm going to get my mute button going again.
I'm going to get my mute button ready, too.
Yeah.
Because saying that that's the survivable range for a human, well, humans can survive depending on what human you are, what mutations you have, affects what temperatures you can survive at. And also, we're not exactly in the age where none of us have clothes or heating or air conditioning anymore.
I think it takes that into account, though.
But let me say, these temperature standards were not developed in the time when we had a
what
lot
do you mean?
Of...
You think Fahrenheit was before coats?
We didn't have the modern heating that we have now.
Yeah, you put a coat on.
You do realize that clothing is the reason... You can look at clothing to see when... Oh, sorry.
Gavin, how cold is it? Rock.
We can use when pubic lice and head lice diverge to see when clothes evolve.
You can. All of us can.
That is how old clothing is.
Wow. Okay.
Because that's when we started to lose the hair on our bodies.
So
and so our head and our pubic region
became different.
When it's
hot in summer,
places.
Why don't we all get naked?
I mean, we can. It's legal here in Texas.
Not all of us
is
are
it really?
Let's just put it that way.
A woman could be topless any place a man could be topless in
As
in
long
Austin.
As she's not creating a disturbance.
Really?
So I is mean, she, it's not up to her, though, is it?
Yeah, you can't have, like, pasties on, like,
I like how you,
flipping them around.
Why would that be a disturbance? I like how you immediately knew that, like, caveat. Because have you had this discussion before? Like, Esther's like, look,
never.
Anywhere, and you're like, nope, don't create a disturbance.
Didn't you have a week where you saw, like, two separate homeless tits?
Though? I saw a lot of homeless tits.
Gus has a problem where homeless people will, like, either come on to him or accuse him of attacking them. Yeah. There was a woman who was regularly outside of our old office downtown, and Gus would walk out the door, and she would scream, that's the guy that attacked
me. No.
But not the word attack.
No. What she said was, she came up to me and was like, I remember you. You raped me once. Violently. I was like, I don't know you, woman. I've never seen you in my life.
God.
People on the street would stop and look and be like, what? Gus is like this. Yeah.
What's more worrying is that people saw that and didn't think to intervene.
No, well, I was dressed like a normal person, and she was dressed like a crazy person. So that helped me out.
Would anybody in the UK intervene in a situation like that?
Oh, no. Got to mind. Oh, don't make a fuss, honestly.
Yeah.
Couldn't possibly.
Don't even make eye contact.
Another time, I was in the office. I was still sitting at my desk, and I picked up my phone. I called my wife, and I said, hey, you know, I'm on my way home. I'm leaving the office. And she said,
oh.
Great,
you know, conversation there with your wife.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you about something. So we started talking, and I'm walking down. I walk downstairs, walk out into the street, and another homeless woman gets right in front of me, and it's like, she was really short. So she's like trying to stare at me in the face. And I put the phone, and I'm like, can I help you? And she said, you can't ignore me. Don't pretend like you're on the phone. And I was like, I was on the phone before I walked out, before I saw you. And she said, yeah, you can't ignore me. And she kicked me in the shins and took off running. I was like, what just happened? I just got assaulted.
Nice.
I never had these interactions.
Why did this happen to you?
I don't know. And then she ran off.
What about you?
Gus has a very offensive face.
Yeah, I can't imagine anybody in the UK ever, like, seeing a situation on the street and intervening to, like, stop that.
I think I know what it is. I think you have a look that says you may have been homeless once at one point.
Well, at the time, that's when I had gone, like, a year and a half without a haircut. Remember
you're
that?
You're a contemporary. You're like a colleague.
Yeah.
And I imagine the worst thing to homeless people is homeless people who have become successful. Right?
Right, they're sellouts? Like... It's like, what happened to Billy? He got a home. What a fucking sellout.
He's not less anymore.
He's staying on someone's couch.
He wasn't committed
that
to
that. That is the closest I've come to spitting out a beer on the podcast ever.
I heard you giggle in my ear.
When Gavin
amazing.
Came over from the UK one time, we were in an elevator in a public parking garage, and we went up 5 floors.
Sorry, let me translate that. You were in a lift in a car park.
There we go, exactly. And we had to go up 5 floors, 6 metric floors, and we were in the elevator going up, and there was somebody else in the elevator with us, and Texas is... It's a little different than the rest of America as well. People you don't know will just start talking to you. So the person next to
people
us.
People do that. Like, I mean, they did that in New York when I was back in there.
I hate it.
Yeah.
It's, I can't deal with
it's
it.
It's really weird. Well, I quite like it, but I just don't know whether I should talk back or not. Like, do they actually want to start a conversation?
I think
they're
absolutely talking to you. Yeah. I think they genuinely do. Okay.
It was the worst experience of his life. They struck up a conversation, and Gavin just stared straight ahead while I talked to them. And then the person got off the elevator, and Gavin was, what was that?
Yeah. This is strange.
Are you used to it now, after living here for 3 years?
I mean, I'm used to it. I'm not comfortable with it.
You know.
Well, I mean, just yesterday, so I was coming back late at night with a friend, and this guy, I'm guessing homeless, to follow on from the theme, just started serenading me.
It's so different.
There's a homeless guy who hangs out on Congress a lot, and he's always at a bus stop, but he's not waiting for the bus. He just sits there, and he's got giant headphones on.
Oh, that guy's not waiting for the bus?
No. And he's just like, he just does this. He just like...
It makes me wonder how many homeless people there are that are just way happier than people in really high-paid jobs. And I think... it's a lot. Homeless people don't care about anything.
Let me.
As long as they can live.
We'll pose these questions sometimes. Would you give up, like, your higher cognitive functions?
No.
If you could be happy, like, blissfully happy.
Well, like, ignorance is bliss.
No, I'm just talking, like, unbelievably blissfully happy.
Would,
like,
you remember your previous existence? What you were like before
I assume if you give cognitive ability up, you... don't.
Like your higher stuff. Like, I'm just saying, like, you'd still be a functioning adult.
I don't think I would.
You would just lose all your books.
Well, let's say, what if...
like, you, all the horrible stuff that leads to, like, depression and, like, our ability to analyze
our
own existence.
This. What if I could clap my hands and you're a dog?
What does that mean?
You're super happy all the time.
Wait, he's going to lick his own anus.
Yeah. Except right? If you need to go to the bathroom and no one's letting you.
But you don't remember anything else.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be on a level like a dog. I'm not talking that low of a level.
Okay.
I'm talking just, like, you
between
know.
A dog and a human.
Let's say, like...
wide range.
What, like, 80 IQ. Let's just say that for a range. Would you give that up if you could be blissfully happy all the time?
Oh, come on. Don't use IQ. IQ's an awful way of measuring.
All right. I'm just trying to come up with some kind of measurement here.
I don't think I would.
I don't even know my IQ.
Let me read this other thing here. Potato chips, they're not good for you. Do what I do. Get delicious, wholesome snacks at naturebox.com. Naturebox gives me hundreds of snacks. I mean, delicious snacks. And I don't feel guilty about eating them because they're better for me. They got zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. 0 grams trans fats and no high fructose corn syrup. You'll even find snacks with no added sugar and without gluten ingredients. So in the afternoon slump when I'm hungry and irritable, here's what I do. Grab peanut butter nom noms from Nature Box or baked sweet potato fries or dark cocoa almonds. They're so good and they're so much better for you than other snack options out there. And I want to give you the chance to try Nature Box for free with a trial box featuring 5 of the most popular snacks. So free snacks. To start your free trial, go to naturebox.com/roosterteeth. Stay full, stay strong, do what I do, start snacking smarter. Go to naturebox.com/roosterteeth. Get a free trial box of delicious snacks. You're welcome.
There's enough of a generation gap between me and my father.
Why do you have lenses?
Oh, I normally wear glasses, but when we're under lights, I don't have lenses in them, so they don't have reflections.
But you still feel like you need the frames around your face.
I'm trying to seem smart.
I have the answer to your question.
I normally have glasses.
It's part of his look.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I have the answer to the question. He's from Austin.
True.
He lives in Austin.
Everybody here is a hipster.
I also had to shave because we did some reshoots for our movie, Laser Team, in theaters hopefully in August.
Trailer out today.
Trailer available now. So I had to shave for it. I normally wear a beard. So without my glasses or my
beard.
I
wear a beard.
I wear a beard, yeah. Without my glasses.
I just choose my beard for this morning.
It usually matches like my pocket square or something like that. But without my beard or my glasses, I would be pretty much unrecognizable.
You'd be just a normal person.
So here's a problem that I have. I don't know if this is an evolutionary biology question. I have a problem, and I don't know what it is. I never look the same in 2 photos. And even me as a person, I recognize that. And people always tell me that I don't look the same. And I absolutely acknowledge that this is a weird thing.
That's just the same as your, like, infinite variables thing of, like, you can't physically look identical.
Actually, there are only 3 looks that you have.
Shut up, everybody.
Are you serious?
Perfect answer. It's a joke.
No, it's a joke from the 3 colors of light. Keep up here, Barb.
Come on, Barb. So, okay.
More margaritas.
Bonus question, then. I wasn't going to ask this one.
People in the first Laser Team teaser, people didn't know until today that I was in the movie.
What?
Oh, wow. I had people tweeting at me saying, oh, I didn't know that was you.
It was me, Michael Colton, and Seth Rogen.
Frank. Beardless Frank.
I mean, your name was in everything.
No, but it's not everybody. But it's a selection of people who are just like, oh, I didn't realize until the teaser today that you're the guy that was in the teaser trailer.
Yeah. That's insane.
That's actually a compliment, I think.
No, I did a lot of work to not look like myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, follow-up question. Bonus question time.
Wow.
I wasn't going to ask this
one. Is this double or nothing?
This double or nothing.
All the marbles.
What do I win by the end? By the way,
you win.
You win a margarita.
You win drunkenness.
Have the award right there.
Bernie says...
Yes.
if we lock him in a room with a tiger, he could beat the tiger up.
Listen, you're getting it wrong again. All I'm saying is...
Oh, he's stuck on the laptop.
No, it's not that this is bad science, just that you are woefully misunderstood.
No, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you put me... Not, I'm not saying animals are in the water, because I'm clearly outclassed there. I'm saying that a tiger or a lion or something like that, that tiger or lion would not kill me.
Do like, you have anything, like a knife or
no,
a
no,
gun?
No, that's not what
no,
you said.
No, just his bare hands.
You said you could fight any animal on land and win.
Not win... Winning to me is not being eaten by the animal. Killed and eaten by the animal. Do we agree with that? If I can get the...
Okay. Also, I don't think you can do that,
also
but okay.
I never said locked in a room, because if I'm locked in a room...
You did. You said lock me in a room. It locked me in this conference room right now with a tiger. Those were your words.
Do you think you could be
I would
hippo?
Open the door.
Do you see that video of the hippo chasing the boat? You would be
that's
demolished
a,
by a hippo.
That's a water animal.
Hippo.
I said no water
said
animals.
Not water animals.
I said no water animals.
So lion, it can tiger,
hippo, hippo was on land.
Nah. Hippo. That's a water animal.
No, it isn't.
I could get away from a hippo on land. Go, try me.
No, no, you could not get away from a hippo on land.
Do it all the time.
Have you seen that hippo video?
Yeah, it does, when it goes under the water and it disappears. Yeah, that's frightening.
What about an octopus? You see the video it's of the not, octopus coming
But that's water.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All these water animals.
I
a shark,
listening.
I admit, a shark would kill me.
A tiger. Tiger.
You'd be dead.
No,
you'd
I got
be
it.
So.
Look, I know. So
listen,
dead.
Listen, we have
so
a scientist
fucked.
Telling us that you'd be dead.
You don't think that you, as intelligent as you are, that you would stand a chance at fighting a tiger
no.
if you're caught in jungle?
Well, here's why I think
you
what
don't
happened.
Stand a chance.
So but there are certain tribes in. There's one tribe I think in Africa where they, the way that they get their meat is they let the lions hunt the meat, and then they go up towards the lions as a group of people and just kind of charge at it. The lions get scared, they steal some of the meat and run away, leaving some of it for the lions. But one of the things is there are lots of them, and they're in a big open space. If you can imagine that you're locked in a room...
I'm not locking myself in a room, first
you
of all.
You said that. It's in the animated adventure.
If you are locked in a room with a big cat... Even if you can scare it to begin with, it's going to get hungrier.
Right. That's
you're
what I'm saying. Locked
going
in a room,
need
no.
to sleep.
If I'm locked in a room, I'm saying I can get out of the room.
Have you seen Life of Pi?
Yeah, I have seen Life of Pi. No,
but to be
yeah.
fair,
you are
if,
the zebra in Life of Pi.
A zebra. Even I've never heard zebra before. I like
I've
that.
I've never heard zebra either.
Yeah. I've heard Zed,
Do
but
you
I've
feel better
zebra.
When you hear zebra?
It's a joy to the ears, But even if it wasn't based on like endurance and you having to sleep, even if you just went like 1v1 with a tiger right now, fight to the death, it would just go for your throat, probably, right? And you would do this, it would rip your arms off and then eat your throat. Like, what? At what point are you going to do anything? You're going to punch its
We
teeth?
Even have examples of no, this. The what? Romans fought lions. They had nets and spears, and still the lions what, could no, sometimes let's kill ask, the...
Yeah, they could win sometimes.
What was your strategy?
Eyes and throat. I got it.
It would yeah, just bite your so fucking awful. Face off.
I'm not saying I wouldn't get hurt.
What I said was a house cat will fuck you up to the point where you don't want to... touch it anymore.
House cat might fuck me up a little bit, but it's not going to get very far.
A tiger is like 100 times a house cat.
I gave my kitten a bath. It turned into the Tasmanian devil. It became dust. My toothbrush was just flying around the room.
The lion tiger doesn't even bother me a little bit. The thing that bothers me is like a silverback gorilla or a grizzly bear. Like
that
those are that's, both land animals. Though.
That's really tough. Yeah. That's really tough.
Did you see that video a couple weeks ago on Reddit where these people are like in a jeep driving, it's, I think like along a beach or a trail or something, and there's this bear running alongside them, this giant bear, and it's hauling ass. It must be doing like 35 miles an hour.
If I remember the video correctly, it was stuck like they had carved a road through a mountain, so there was like sheer rock wall on either side, so the bear had to like run all the way down it along the side of the road in order to get away.
Yes.
And they're matching pace with it in a vehicle. Yeah.
That bear is hauling ass down that trail.
It I never think of a bear fast. Being a fast animal.
Very fast.
I never think of a bear hauling ass.
Yeah. Me either.
The bear was hauling many asses.
It just has a bag of ass and just hauling it.
Just
yeah.
dragging it along.
I don't know if it's because I'm sitting closer to her, but I feel like the purpose of this podcast was to prove me wrong the entire time. Why do I feel like that?
No,
I think
no, no,
it's
no,
because
no,
you're the most wrong.
We started with the airplane thing, which was my bad.
Yeah, why don't we start with that? Okay. That was like Bernie.
Did we prove me wrong at any point?
Yeah, you're awful.
No, we did. No, we actually reinforced you. We talked about if you're feeling sick, can you make yourself stop?
The mirror thing.
The sandwich. Speed of push.
You're going to be very popular with the audience because they always get mad at us for making fun of Gavin.
It's going to be 3-2 for Celsius versus Fahrenheit.
I saw many tweets that were like, oh my God, they actually have a scientist talking about science
yeah.
On the podcast.
people have been begging us for a very long time to get someone who actually knows.
This should be an annual
about.
Thing. We'll come up with a bunch more in the next year.
Do it.
South by Southwest.
Hey, so when do you finish your studies? Or can you even predict that?
Planning to be 2017.
2017.
That's the future.
And then what will take place after your studies? Will you go into that field or do you think you'll stay in like informational entertainment?
So that's a very good question. If my supervisor's watching. No, it is fine. So I don't know yet whether I'll stay in academia, but I'm definitely going to do an awful lot more science communication.
Right.
Like the aim is kind of to have a science communication career, and whether I do academia on the side, I haven't decided yet.
All right.
See how the PhD goes.
Yeah. Well, life is fluid. You'll figure it out as you go. By the time you finish your studies, who knows what the like communication landscape will even look like.
Exactly. I mean,
so
I've got another 2.5 years in my PhD. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe YouTube will have died. Maybe we'll all be on Mars. Goodness knows.
In 2 years.
The fruit flies
That's
will have taken over.
Mars tube.
Yeah.
And so you think the biggest threat to humanity is other humans?
Yes. A common either other humans or infectious disease, which probably will be because of antibiotic resistance, which in itself is other human.
That is terrifying to me, antibiotic resistance.
Do you think we're ever going to become zombies? Like, do you think the idea of zombies is possible at any point in time? So, there's the argument... We've got cat ladies as a kind of zombie.
Oh.
You've got a toxoplasma parasite inside your brain, which changes your behavior. So in
Christ.
That sense, you're kind... So what? There are lots of parasites that change your brain.
So a cat lady isn't just a creepy old woman with a cat or a bunch of cats.
I think that it's between something like in the region of 20 and 30% of people are infected with this toxoplasma.
Worldwide?
Yeah.
Just women or everyone?
No,
I don't know how it breaks down.
Because I know there's that thing with like cat litter and pregnant women and it only affects women and stuff like that.
That's toxoplasmosis, which is the thing that can actually kill somebody.
The infection caused by the toxoplasma.
But this parasite will actually modify your behavior.
So it's found in other animals, and in other animals it will change their behavior. And then people found it in humans, and it hasn't been studied that much, but they think it might change your behavior, but they're not sure. But in other mammals that it infects, it definitely changes their behavior.
What about...
It changes their reactions to cats so that it actually makes them easier to be killed by cats.
Yeah.
How do you get it? How do you get it out? Because I have it.
Yeah, you probably do.
I rub my cat all over myself.
But you have one cat.
All over?
I always kiss his head.
Who doesn't?
All over.
I'm always like, aw.
What about like cordyceps?
What?
So cordyceps are the fungus that sometimes take over ants.
Oh, those ones, yeah.
David Attenborough
conceivably
was like,
could cordyceps ever mutate to the point where... Like in the Last of Us video game, where cordyceps could infect humans and take over humans.
That would be a huge leap. Ants, brains, and
well, it's not just ants though. It's like one different species of cordyceps for every
But still, in terms of being able to stay alive, because I mean, if you think they've got the exoskeleton, I mean, there are hundreds of parasites that do it. The really creepy ones are the wasps, which lay their eggs inside of maggots or caterpillars. And then there's a wonderful video where they've managed to get a camera inside one of these maggots that has these wasp larvae eating it out from the inside.
Wow.
Eating the guts first and then eating just the bits of the brain that are left. Jesus. So that then the caterpillar starts building this silk nest to protect the wasp larvae. And then when the wasp larvae burst through the sides of the caterpillar is still just alive enough to protect these wasp larvae from anything that wants to eat them. So it has their own zombie bodyguard.
That's disgusting.
I regret asking this question.
The mental image I got at the beginning of that was someone like shoving a GoPro down a maggot.
I was just reminded of my ex-girlfriend.
All right, are we all done?
We're at about time to wrap up. So I want to thank everyone for watching.
Should we plug a few things that came out today?
Oh, go ahead.
We got the Laser Team teaser trailer. The actual trailer.
The first trailer.
And then we have, we announced that RTX tickets will be going on sale on Wednesday as
well. Yes. I totally missed that we announced that.
Yes.
So we're selling RTX tickets for 2015. What is the date of
August
RTX?
August 7th to 9th.
August 7th to 9th. Tickets go on sale.
Wednesday.
What time?
3 p.m. Central.
3 p.m. Central. Is that, are we currently minus 6 GMT?
Minus 5, I believe.
We're kind of, yeah,
you're
daylight
minus
savings.
Five, but by the end of this month, you will be minus 6.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
I'm at that crazy period of time where my family aren't asleep when I want to call them.
Oh, okay, so we're minus 5 right now.
The 1 hour.
And, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
And, of course, Fiction Fast Forward, which premieres tomorrow.
Yeah, Fiction Fast Forward tomorrow, and there'll be more stuff going up on GE, and, yeah, stuff going up on my channel eventually. Hopefully. Cool.
Sally, awesome. Thank you for joining us. It was an absolute joy to have you on the podcast.
It was lovely chatting.
And thanks, everyone, for watching. We'll be back on Wednesday with The Patch, Thursday with On the Spot, and again next Monday with another episode of Archie Podcast. So bye from South by Southwest.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thanks for watching. I love you.
No, you don't.
I like you a lot.